All those thoughts come, thoughts try to come, but at the moment nothing manifests, nothing.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, we could always stop there, I guess.
It's just, when I take the old perspective, I studied physics in my life, and when I try to get into that one, it's all, we are trapped by this mind, or by this structure somehow, and that's what comes, but again, this is concept. This is concept again. Concepts, yeah. concepts.
Yeah.
Nothing of it is real.
Complication, yeah.
Yeah.
It's much more simple than that.
Just this silence. I think that's the best pointer. Could not find a better one.
Yeah, but you know, you'd be surprised how people get confused even by the silence. People can complicate the silence, you know, and assume that the silence somehow means something.
Yeah, that's what happens. Like in this conversation, we naturally, I feel pulled into that now. No dynamics at the moment, so silence comes. But it doesn't have a meaning. It's just a resting, right?
Yeah, just a resting, literally. Yeah.
What I experience with friends and colleagues, make a proposal, I just try to sit silent for 15 minutes or half an hour doing nothing. Yeah? It's just like a torture. Yeah?
yeah. But you know, also if you kind of force yourself to sit doing nothing, then the nature of the mind that it just is that it just wants to do something.
Yeah.
But if it kind of just comes naturally, there's natural moments where there's just a natural feeling to rest and not speak or just not move. So actually meditation, like the actual practice of meditation isn't really necessary as a practice. It kind of happens naturally. You know, the body naturally kind of comes to a resting point every so often. And if you're willing to listen to it, you know.
Yeah, but that's this if. Yeah. That's not general practice. Somehow there is the impression that one should be busy, one should use the time, one should work or do something or read something or whatever. Yeah? So this inactive state is not propagated. Often. Yeah.
It's not very useful. You're not going to achieve very much like that. And just to be clear, we're not talking about not achieving. You know, in your daily life at work or whatever you do, you can go on doing everything you do and being very busy even and using the mind to organize things or to plan things or whatever it is that it takes. And because people often can hear this as some kind of attitude of, I shouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's not that. You should go on doing everything as you do and recognizing who you are is recognizing that actually who you are is noticing this person doing what it does. Yeah. This person playing the role of
whatever,
a banker, a fireman, a dancer, teacher, or whatever. Yeah.
With all intensity, yeah. With all intensity.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential for misunderstanding all this.
Sure. When the mind is trying to understand it, then of course it misunderstands it.
I'm just imagining one of your retreats, painting, playing, discussing, asking questions. So you have satsang sessions in that?
Yeah, every day, during the day, although we have some free time in the afternoons usually to just relax. But the mornings are full everyday meeting sessions, and also some of the evenings, most of the evenings, certainly in the beginning. And then towards the end, we start to use more and more afternoon and evening time to play. But we continue the mornings with the meetings right to the end. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And these meetings are for clarifications of questions, or do you have some kind of a teaching style, or is it just what comes in the group?
It's what comes, and it does seem to have its own kind of momentum in some way. I don't plan anything, and yet it does sometimes seem perfectly planned.
Okay. It's just this resonating thing, seems to be.
And of course the different members of the group bounce off each other. Mm. So if one person can bring up something and it can affect somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of brings up a whole other area to explore.
And are there any prerequisites for going to your retreats? Do you select people, or is everybody invited?
Well, I usually would prefer that someone has already been to one of my meetings. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, in this modern age of YouTube and all that, then usually people come who have already seen YouTube clips. So really it's open to anybody, but I do ask people to write a couple of sentences about why they what they expect out of the retreat and what drew them to come to the retreat.
So one would write a letter to you or an email or whatever, contact you, and then you come with the questions, and then...
Well, no, not really like that. It's when you book for the retreat, part of the booking form, there's a little section where you fill out what has drawn you to come and expect out of it.
Mm-hmm. And you do that in different locations in the world? You travel around the world, or do you have special preferred locations? I did not follow your schedules so far.
I travel. I don't have a base at all, so I'm always traveling. That's just the way things are. And I don't have a set route. Things seem to, different travel plans seem to come up, but it's always on my website sometime in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I've recently changed my website. I don't know if you saw that. For a long time it's been notknowing.com. Yeah. And now it's dietolove.com.
So you also say, this implies love is the essence, or something like that. So.
Yeah, well, I like using the word die or death and love in the same sentence, because it's the same thing. Dying to everything you think you know for the love that you are. For the openness that you are, the freedom that you are. I've changed the website really to kind of suit the natural evolution of this expression.
Okay.
I've been doing these meetings and retreats for I think about 8 or 9 years now, and in the last couple of years it seems to have just intensified and got more uncompromising, and so the website now reflects that better.
Okay, so we'll have a look at it soon. So that's an invitation.
No, I really enjoy. I really like the design of it now.
And yeah, love is then obviously used in a different way than it is used in all-day language for many. Yeah, so because love somehow implies there are two.
Yeah, I'm not talking about any experience of love. I'm talking about who you are. So love is another word for that.
Okay.
Yeah. As we said before, every word is wrong. So even the word love doesn't really say it, you know. It can be quite confusing to use that word for some people. People can assume that it means some kind of experience or as if we're talking about relationships. But it's actually, it's really the same thing. Love, I like using the word love because it points to the fact that everything is included, unconditionally.
Unconditionally, I mean, this is the quality that I think is closest to what we try to point to.
So
that's also my baseline when I think about love, the quality of being unconditional. That's, in the end of the day, in the partnership also, what counts, to come to that unconditional.
Yeah, but you can't manufacture that, you see. You can't try, you can't try to be unconditionally loving.
Yes,
it's not in the nature of the mind. The mind will never be unconditionally loving. The mind will only be conditionally loving. What can I get out of this relationship? You know, it's always about negotiating and that's the nature of the thinking. But who you are is always unconditional love, no matter what.
Yeah. It just is.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
No hope to do anything about it. That's the bad side of the story, but the good side of the story is there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, and it's a relief that you don't need to do anything about it.
What I sense at a certain stage is instead of calling it love, somehow would rather call it bliss or something like that. But this sounds again like an experience, which again is not.
That word bliss is a very confusing word as well, because it implies some kind of blissful experience. And then it means, it implies that somehow any uncomfortable, frightening or painful experience is not it, because it's not
exactly
blissful.
What I saw at one stage is when one calls it bliss, that was an interesting game of mind. The highest state one can be in as a human being is a blissful state, which is of course an experience which is limited, which causes drama. But it can be a reflection. So when one considers it as a reflection of what we really are, then that also can be a pointer. But it is always on the level of an experience, and it is not relevant at all. That experience is not relevant at all.
Yes, and even, let's say, just to play kind of devil's advocate with you now, or just to pose the opposite, if you take anger, that is also a reflection of who you are, in the power of it, in the vibrancy of anger. That too is a reflection of who you are. Life itself exploding in anger.
Hmm.
It is all a reflection, you know.
So we killed all of them, yeah. Or allow all of them. We allow all of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's all allowed already, whether you allow it or not.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
It's good to play with this.
Yeah.
So these devil's advocate games, they are clarifier.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's always looking at the other side of the paradox, you know.
So now we are almost in a retreat, huh?
Almost.
Yeah. I believe the dynamics is coming to rest for this time, huh?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah.
So thanks a lot for this conversation.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we will produce it and hopefully release it in the very near future.
That's great. Yeah, let me know when that is and I'll link to it on my website.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. So
have a great time I believe you are in California, in San Francisco?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hopefully no earthquakes.
Well, that could be dramatic, couldn't it?
I hope it will not happen, so. And have a great time.
Thank you. All right, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Nice to talk to you. Cheers, then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.